all you have to do is go to like a 1-year school and then you walk out making 6 figures.
Right.
And it's like, wait, hold on a second.
Welcome to Masters of Home Service, a podcast by Jobber. Each week we talk to successful home service entrepreneurs and experts in their field to learn how they built their company so we can make your business more profitable and more efficient. We're in Las Vegas at Blue Wire Studios, and today we're talking about a very important topic, which is raising and recruiting the next generation of home service pros. Very important, right, guys?
Super important.
Absolutely.
So I've got Jason Savageau with us. He is a Jobber Grants recipient in 2023.
Thank you, Jobber.
Yeah, for career builders. That's very cool. And you also own Current Electric Systems. So welcome to the show. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is a great opportunity to speak to others and share some tidbits that might help others get across with this challenge, because it really is a challenge.
Yeah.
That is first and foremost central to the success of our companies.
Yeah, absolutely. And Christine Hodge, welcome to the show.
How are you?
Oh, you're the president of Clearview Washing in New Jersey.
CEO.
You spoke at the huge convention. Looking forward to having you on the show too.
Thank you for having me.
So 74% of Gen Z, here's a little stat for you, says there's a stigma associated with pursuing vocational school. There's just this idea that, oh, that's lesser than maybe going to 4-year school or something. At the same time, there is a U.S. shortage of workers by 500,000 in the construction trades. So we have to figure out a way to bridge that 500,000 gap, as you guys were. So I think it starts with mindset. What kind of mindset do our listeners need to have in this topic of recruiting and raising up the next generation of home service pros?
I strongly believe that, honestly, every single person who owns a home service company or a company in the trades has to have the mindset that this should not be framed as a job. This should be framed as a career. It should be presented, advertised, you're posting on Indeed, wherever you're recruiting people. It's not a job, it's a career. Because what's happening is you have to build confidence in young people who are right out of high school, for example, or in their early 20s, who may not have a path in life or may have had a path that didn't work out. And you have to show them this doesn't have to be a temporary stop for you. This can be a long-term thing if you apply mm-hmm. yourself, and I'm going to help you get there. I think that's very important.
I think what's also important is that we outreach to others that are not of our industry and try to inject a little bit more fidelity into just what it is to be in the trades. I'm noticing a sort of enthusiasm from a lot of people about, hey, you know, trades are a great career path and this type of thing. And then that follows up with, all you have to do is go to like a 1-year school and then you walk out making 6 figures.
Right.
And it's like, wait, hold on a second. For us, and we're electricians, we have a fairly long apprenticeship requirement. And then there's testing, licensure. There's ratios to, you know, a licensed person and unlicensed persons being together. And then our breadth of knowledge, or the code book, covers everything from fiber optic cables to a substation.
Mm-hmm.
It is incredibly vast. You got to have the mind for at least trigonometry. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to read and write well beyond 8th grade level English, which is what most high school graduates are at.
Yeah, it's not just a one-year thing. I mean, it's a big deal.
What I really am just desperate is for the career counselors in high schools to start looking at their students and finding those with aptitudes that are aligned to the trades, as opposed to, well, you know, you're struggling, so you should try this over here.
Mm-hmm.
And we get a lot of folks that enter into the electrical career field and are just overwhelmed due to a misalignment with those aptitudes. You have to aspire to this.
Yeah.
And when you do, I mean, there's just a ton to learn. There's a lot of problem solving. You can really put a smile on people's faces. Mm-hmm. And what's cooler than, like, I press this button and all this comes on? Like, I mean, and how does that work, right? And right. It's really fascinating stuff if that's your mojo.
Yeah.
And I'm so passionate about this, because the individual attitude with aspiring to a trade is fundamental in raising the bar for the rest of us, mm-hmm. and bringing our culture up and bringing more value to what it is to be a tradesperson.
I talked to a gentleman recently who was my age, mid-30s, and he wanted to become a welder, but he kind of lost his chance because the reason I say that, there's a sense of urgency in this because all the apprenticeships, all the schooling, that doesn't pay very well. And so when you're in your mid-30s, you have a family, you can't really realistically do that. But when you're 19, you can most of the time. And so I think we have to be realistic with our next generation and say, look, if you want to do this, it's a great career, but you got to start now. You got to start now because you can't really afford to start later. The apprenticeship, it's just too hard later on.
Absolutely. And this reminds me of an experience I had in Japan when I got to meet several tradespeople and people of different crafts when I lived out there for over a decade. The apprenticeship for like a sushi chef over there is like 15 years.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. And when you get into it, it's more than just pay some money and go to a tech school and do this and that. You want to be choosing an environment. And I'm really speaking to the individuals thinking about getting in the trades. Find yourself an environment where there are people that are going to be invested in your skills and your growth and development, mm-hmm. as opposed to giving you prematurely, putting you in a van and sending you in front of a customer because, you know, you're young and you're cheap and you figured out a couple things to do so I can make money on you. Mm-hmm. And for us, it's like, no. You need a solid apprenticeship if you want to, after you get your licensure, be of value in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And for us small businesses, we need those craftspeople in that position of value to bring value to our teams and our organizations.
Yeah.
Don't get pigeonholed.
Let's get really specific here. What are you guys doing specifically to get the young folks in the door? what are you doing? Kristen, why don't you start? What are you doing to attract the young people into your industry?
So it's funny because my company used to joke around that I would only hire people who were 40 and up because I knew that like every new person that I bought in 3 or 4 years ago was in their 40s, 50s. We have a few field workers in their 60s actually. The reason is because I was looking for consistency. I was looking for responsible, you know, somebody who may already have a family and they just need their routine and they want to work and things like that. But I also am very passionate about creating opportunities. That's why I'm in this. That's one of the things I would list as my why. Mm. So that goes against it because I was ruling out the people that were in their 20s. So I think there's a huge responsibility, and we were talking about this briefly before, and almost taking somebody on in their 20s and guiding them, not only in, you know, for us, how do you power wash, how do you wash a window, but guiding them in communication, when or when not to make a phone call versus a text message. Like mm-hmm. there are certain life skills that I feel could be lacking. And I feel like it's our responsibility as entrepreneurs to guide them and create a path. Now, I always say some of our best employees who I never want to lose, they're not going to be with us forever. That's just the mm-hmm. reality. But I'm always going to leave them better than what they were when they got there. So we incorporate a lot of safety training. We have OSHA credentials. We have Lyft certifications. So I am always going to make it a point to add to my employees' resume so that we can build them up for their next step should they not be with us.
Yeah. Yeah, I've always told my team, you should be better when you leave here than when you started. Exactly. I don't want you to leave, but you probably will eventually. I want you to be better. And I want the next company to be like, man, who trained you?
Right. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And it makes you look great too. And it makes you feel good. Right. We say all the time, we don't hire people who have power washing experience or window washing experience. We're hiring people that we can build into that, but we're hiring for personality. Mm-hmm. We're hiring for professionalism. We're hiring people that we can mold into a good human being. We're looking for good people to grow our family business. And everything else can be taught. I know it's a little different in the electrical field, but mm-hmm.
there are a lot of parallels. I mean, all of those things you spoke of are just core to, you know, being successful, frankly, in most any workplace. Right. And I would add, just, you know, we spend so much of our life at work, and as far as I'm concerned, like, be the best version of that you can, and that is really just a conscious decision on the individual. Like, I'm going to choose this career path or this trade or this craft and be the best version that I can. And what includes that is not just the technical piece, mm-hmm. but also you have to interface with people. It's unavoidable.
Yeah.
And those skills are just so, so crucial. And to your point with young people, we as business owners have to accept the fact that we are oftentimes the last leg of the parenting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, especially when you hire on someone who's at their late teens, early 20s, you know, to be frank, a lot of the prefrontal cortex isn't there yet.
Right.
And so you
have to develop them.
Yeah, for sure. So you're developing that judgment, that character, that consistency. And there are times where you're going to step away from those moments and be like, oh man, why is this? can you just show up on time? Right. Like, you know, honestly. And
so we're talking a lot about once they're in the door, how do we develop them?
Sure.
Well, let's talk about getting them in the door. That's just as hard. Recruiting specifically, are you using Indeed? Are you using trade shows? Are you using what are you doing exactly to even get interviews scheduled?
We use Indeed, and then we do have a $300 employee referral bonus. So if an employee brings somebody else on, we will bonus them $300 after 60 days of consecutive employment. But in our Indeed posting, we really try to sell that this is a career, not a job. So we say things like, you know, join our rockstar team. Or sometimes what we notice in our industry is a lack of confidence. And when you bring somebody on who doesn't have experience, right? If I bring on someone in their 20s, most people do not have power washing experience, mm-hmm. you know, unless you've power washed your house. But even then, like, most people have not washed a window before or cleaned a roof before. So I am very clear that, like, I don't want to scare someone off because they look at our job posting and they say, well, I've never done this before, so I can't apply. I want them to look at it and see that we have an intricate 2-week training program. So don't worry about that because mm-hmm. I promise we'll teach you. I want to show them that if you join our team, I'm going to make you grow. You're going to join as a field crew member and I want to make you a team leader. I put those details in, health insurance benefits. I kind of sell our company as like, this is not just a temporary stop for you. This can be permanent for you. Even at employee outings, like when we get all of our employees together, I do an activity to get everybody to come out of their shell a little and grow a little confidence. So I'll ask a question like, what is your best trait about yourself that's contributed to Clearview Washing? And I see some of our employees stand up and say, can you come back to me? Can you? And I see the hesitation and I see like there's still a lack of confidence. So in my head, I'm like, I'm going to build him up. Like that's a focus for me to grow this guy. I'm going to make them more confident. I'm going to give them more responsibility. So I feel a heavy weight to make sure that I'm building everybody on our team up as human beings and making them the best version of themselves. But I put all of that into our job posting.
Yeah, I think a mistake that a lot of entrepreneurs make with the job posting is they've been burned by somebody. So you can totally tell in the job posting. So it's, you have to have a driver's license. Don't ever be late. Oh. And you have to be strong. And if you're gonna be on your phone, then don't even apply. And it's just so negative.
Some of those sound almost like a dating app where, you know.
Exactly.
You better not have a dog. You better not. Yeah. So for us, we've actually ditched Indeed. I've found Indeed to, and this is, I think this is more specific to our portion of the industry. I found Indeed to be a lot of cost without a lot of return. And for the longest time, I had been fixated on, okay, I've got to get the right people in the right seats, and the only way we're going to grow is to do this. And that hasn't changed. But I have changed my perspective on my timeline on this and how we're going to approach it. And so, you know, currently in our business, we have a 50-year-old, someone in their 50s, someone in their 40s, someone in their 30s, someone in their 20s, someone in their teens. So we've got one in every generation. I just kind of realized that as we were talking and nurturing that mantra of mentorship. But specifically what we're doing to recruit now is directly linked to the grant we received from Jobber. We are going to completely focus on recruiting brand new. I have not been to school. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be putting on an event, really, to recruit people from different schools and other avenues, getting in contact with those school counselors. So I'm going to be in the Twin Cities. I'm going to be reaching out and finding students that have potential aptitude for what we do. And then it's like, you know, when you're a young teenager in school Or especially if you ask someone like in middle school, what do you want to be when you grow up, Tommy? Mm-hmm. President and an astronaut, you know. And
an electrician.
Like, right. So no, they have no awareness of what all these other career paths are. Mm-hmm. So what we're going to try here is do an event where they can kind of learn, do some of the things we do and learn and kind of tactile fit, you know, like how does pipe go together and how do I bend this and what are circuits and how do wires work and what does that look like when it blows up and see if we can get any sparks in the kids' eyes, offer mm-hmm. them a summer position, mm-hmm. roll them through the summer. They'll be able to make some money, kind of get their hands dirty a little bit and figure out in that time frame. Hopefully we'll teach them some solid fundamentals on work ethic, mm-hmm. and maybe they'll go to your power washing company ready mm-hmm. to go, right. and that would be okay.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. after that, if they're like, I really want to do this, great, guess what? We're going to pay for your schooling now. Mm-hmm. We're going to send you to a night school that's 4 years long while you're fully employed with us, with the benefits, with the paid time off. Like, this is more aligned to kind of a German approach. I am just dead set that the model of going to school, going into debt, going to school during the daytime and wasting 2 years of your employable career to then come out of there and not be and come to an interview with me and not be able to answer the most basic of technical questions mm-hmm. is such a loss for individuals.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Let's first do, are you interested in this? Are you really grabbing onto this? And we already have our first 19-year-old. He started school last week.
Awesome.
And so every Tuesday now when we do our company meeting and we do a meeting and training session, it's together. His responsibility is to come to the meeting and share with us what they had class in last week mm-hmm. and ask us questions to kind of go into, well, what does that actually mean? Did I understand this correctly? And so he's going to put on the spot the rest of our electricians to be able to teach him what they know. And then also, quite possibly, expose, like, maybe I learned this wrong.
Yeah.
And then totally. When they have to teach, they're going to learn it better. And we're all kind of all levels. We're getting that mm-hmm. we're just crawling to that line of mastery.
That's great.
And
yeah, that's
it's great. It's just really exciting to see that really start to take shape.
It's mm-hmm. exciting.
Yeah.
I want to go back to Indeed real quick, and then I want us to talk about what the next generation wants mm-hmm. in terms of flexible hours and who knows, we'll get to that in a second, but let's take a quick minute to talk about how great Jobber is for a minute, guys. So what has Jobber done for y'all's businesses?
Jobber has really given us a home base. We can do everything from calendaring, quote requests, to collecting money on invoices, all from one place. Also the fact that our employees can see everything and we can communicate via Jobber has been huge for us.
Yeah, yeah, it organizes your whole business.
Absolutely.
And I'll tag on to that. It's like you have a very reliable administrative help that's there consistently all the time and doesn't take time off, isn't on PTO. Mm-hmm. And the follow-up features are excellent. The ability for our field crews to document things
that's
and
right.
post those pictures and put those conversations down of what they had with the client, challenges they had on the projects. So if you do have any friction or a callback, you've got that record where you can go right to and then get to, if we're gonna go back, it's gonna be solved that next time. That is so precious. And we really appreciate the platform for that reason.
Yeah. Jobber is like a second brain. I can either have all that stuff floating around my brain mm-hmm. or in Jobber's brain.
For sure.
So yeah. Perfectly put.
If you want to give Jobber a try, which you should, because it'll transform your business, go to jobber.com/podcastdeal. Get an exclusive discount for new subscribers. Make the decision today. You won't regret it. Go to jobber.com/podcastdeal. Something I learned on Indeed somewhat recently is we spend all this time on marketing to our clients, just figuring out what their avatar is, what they want, what they desire, what their problems are. And then we just slap an Indeed ad up in 5 minutes.
Right.
The ad needs to talk about what they want, Christine. Like you said earlier, like, do you want a career? Do you want levels of advancement? You go from apprentice to junior tech to senior tech. They want a ladder and their girlfriends want that mm-hmm. for them. And then also, this is a little hack that I discovered on Indeed. I'm not sure if you know this. You probably do. Most people probably know that. I probably was late to the party. But Indeed has a function where you can turn down every single application you get, within 72 hours. Mm-hmm. So you can, in theory, which we do this for 80% of them, they come in, we quickly get a hold of them, we quickly filter. You could even schedule an in-person interview within 72 hours. If it doesn't go well, decline, and you pay nothing. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, I was racking up a lot of money on Indeed. I didn't really understand it, and now I do. I spend very little, actually, because they give you so much time to decline. You can decline it for any reason. And I found that my Indeed bill went way down and my efficiency went up because we're not just paying for every single lead that came in like a fool. In the beginning, I was a fool, but I figured it out.
I am taking notes on.
That's a huge one.
Yeah,
you could in theory only spend $30 on one hire if you turn down everyone else.
We've never spent a dollar on Indeed.
So if you pay, you get a lot more applicants.
Yeah. So what you'll notice, for example, around the COVID time, right, when nobody was. You would post an Indeed posting and no one would apply that's just what life was like then, right? But we revamped our job posting. If your job posting is so strong, you will get applicants. So we listed a field tech position, well, four field tech positions for this spring. We got almost 100 applications.
For free?
For free.
Wow. I need you to send me that template, Christine.
So I am happy to share the template, actually, because if your job posting, it's like an elevator pitch. Like if in the first two lines you haven't sold somebody, you're not going to get an application. So you have to present yourself immediately, as soon as they see your job posting, I want in with that company because I want to be a rock star.
Mm-hmm. Well, this has been great. I do want us to wrap it up. Let's close out with talking about what the next generation wants. What do they want out of life? What do they want out of their job? Let's talk on that as we close out.
For me, and what I've perceived is something more tangible than just punch in, punch out, get the money and run. And we are able to offer that. There's just such a depth of stuff to learn and skills to learn and things to do and things to accomplish. For me, that's what I'm seeing is that, especially in our youngest, he is just a sponge for. He's so enthusiastic about learning this trade, and it's an identity, right? I'm an electrician, and that's central to what he's coming to us for. It's not, well, I have bills and I need the job,
right?
You know, it's I'm an electrician. That's the core of it, and we're electricians, and we're going to raise you up to be elite, and we're all invested in his success. And for me, watching that process come along. It is success in and of itself. And the money works out. But you have that kind of enthusiasm with a young person and then a customer sees that. And it just is this virtuous cycle. You know, the customer's like, wow, you're so young and you're doing this and you're hardworking and you're cleaning up and you're taking care of this stuff. Thank you, thank you. And you get these great reviews and they're personal. And then, like, look at you. You're 19 doing this great job, and here's your friend calling to, like, go out to the bar and stuff. And he literally, as a 19-year-old, I have a career now. I need to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is an adult up and coming that we're really excited about.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And the more of these we can create, man, that's a legacy I'll take to the grave with me. Yeah. Absolutely.
I think that the younger person, their perception is that they want something maybe on the easier side and they're looking for money. I think that everybody these days are more technologically advanced. So they're looking for the new school method of doing things. So this can go down a rabbit hole, which I'm sure will be discussed in another episode. But if you can increase your company's efficiency so that you can pay nicely, so that they can also start their lives, rent apartments, do whatever they want to do. So that's huge for me. I want to be like we're a luxury exterior cleaning company, but we pay our technicians very well. Mm-hmm. On top of that, everybody is on their phones. We give them iPads. They have Jobber on their iPads. So we definitely want to incorporate technology and the new age. Clearview washing 6 years ago was on paper. I don't think that the 19-year-old person would know what to do if we handed them paper invoices.
You're absolutely right.
So you have to incorporate technology and you kind of have to move along with the trend of the people that you want to hire and bring on board. Mm-hmm. And that's what we've been able to do over the last few years. And I think that it's work. And I think that it makes you look more attractive, not only to your employers, but also to your clients. So it's kind of this perfect bundle of, we always say, we say this at team meetings, we believe we're a technology company that power washes. Because I think that if we can create this trifecta of technology and quoting and all these other, you know, softwares that we do. So it's more than a trifecta. We believe that we can have a really powerful unit with our employees and with our clients.
Yeah, I agree. I think the next generation wants to know that you care about them.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to know that you'll invest in them. And they only know that if you tell them that. So they can't read your mind.
Yeah.
You look them in the eye and say, look at all this. We have professional equipment. We have safety things. We have all these things in place so you can succeed here. We're not going to just throw you to the wolves. We're not going to just throw you in and go make me money. We're going to train you up and we're going to make you successful. And at that point, it's up to you if you succeed, because we're going to do everything we can to help you. This is a really helpful conversation. I'm going to try to summarize it in three tangible steps. Number one is sell a career, not a job. People do not want JOBs anymore. The young generation wants to know that they have a career path, that you're going to teach them soft skills, leadership, communication, those kinds of things. Don't sell a job, sell a career. Number two is, I really like this one from Jason. For the higher trades with a long tail of training, put them in night school at night, but have them work for you during the day. I really like that one. And number three, Indeed. There's two different ways to do Indeed. The main thing is, don't spend too much money on Indeed. It can get way out of hand. You can either do Christine's route, which is free, which I like more than my route, or you can pay for it, but monitor those and decline them as they come in, as you filter them. Don't let them go past 72 hours or you'll pay big, big bucks. That was great. Christine, how do people find out more about you?
You can find me on LinkedIn. I am at Christine S. Hodge. You can also find me on my website, theprocessceo.com. And that is where I will post for everybody our hiring template for Indeed.
Love that. Great. Jason?
You can find us at our website, currentelectricsystems.com. I am also on LinkedIn at Jason Savageau.
Great. Well, it can't be overstated. The impact that you guys are having on the next generation is huge. You're training, you're developing, you're nurturing, you're raising them up. It's a job that most people aren't doing. And so keep it up. You guys are doing a great job. So thank you.
Thanks, Adam.
And thank you. Thank you for listening to the show today. I hope that you heard something that will help you make your business more profitable and more efficient and recruit the next generation. I'm your host, Adam Sylvester. You can find me at adamsylvester.com. We'll see you next week.